Good morning.
Good morning.
Please stand as you are for the call to worship, as you are able to. Oh, that God would restore us, and that God's face would shine, and we may be saved.
Let God's face shine, that we may be saved.
How long will the Lord be angry with our prayers? God's people have been fed with the bread of tears and have been made the scorn of our neighbors.
Let God's face shine that we may be saved.
Yet God makes us strong, and we will never turn back from the Lord. Let us call upon the name of the Lord, who breaks down all walls. People of God, welcome home. The hymn today is number 5, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence.
Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and If we claim to be without sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In that spirit of honest confession, let us come before Almighty God in prayer. Let us pray. Dear God, worthy of our full homage, we confess that we do not cherish your light of endless day. We like the darkness and want to hide what we do. If the gifts we have seem small compared to others, we are missing the spiritual components in our lives, and we covet earthly pleasures. Forgive us. In the dark days of winter, lead us by your light. Amen. The proof of God's amazing love for us is this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, hear and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this service of worship at Savage Memorial Presbyterian Church. We are glad you're here this morning, and we acknowledge that this gathering of Savage Memorial Presbyterian Church is occurring in the traditional lands of the Chinook, Clackamas, and Cowlitz peoples, and we offer our gratitude to the elders, past and present, who have stewarded the land through the generations. Along with that, we offer our thanks to the folks of the SS Minnow for preparing the sanctuary and other spaces around our church for Advent and Christmas. It is a joyful bit of light in a time of the year that tends to be the darkest time of the year. We're glad for that. And I want to make sure you all know that today is our all-church buffet, hosted by our Voyagers. All are welcome to stay after worship. There's lots of delicious sweet and savory treats in Fellowship Hall, and we hope you all get a chance to stay for that. And like I say, everyone's welcome. The Voyagers provided everything, and we're glad to have you share it. Also, as a mark of the beginning of Advent, our Christmas poinsettias are in Fellowship Hall for those folks on our deacon list, and we do need your help. The deacons are asking for your help in delivering the poinsettias to folks on the list. There are names and info on each of the flowers, and if you would and could, please share in distributing this Christmas color to folks who don't get out as much as they would like. Another thing coming up in our Advent schedule is our Christmas pageant will be coming up on December 17th, Sunday worship. And I would have you invite family and friends to join us, particularly on December 17th. And if you would like to be a part of the pageant, we are having a rehearsal on the Saturday before. So think about that and think about coming and participating in our it's not an enactment, it's an embodiment of the Christmas story. Our snow-capped Christmas tree has also been put up as a part of our decorations, and it is a working decoration. We have places on the snow-capped Christmas tree in the narthex for our local mission work with folks coming to Snowcap for help, and so there are places where you can put warm clothing for any age, and we hope to fill up the tree and get that to Snowcap so folks in need, as the temperatures get colder, that they will know the warmth of Christ's love and our fellowship. That's our local mission. Our mission is the Christmas Joy offering of our Presbyterian Church USA, and it's one of only four national offerings that we participate in through the National Presbyterian Church. For nearly 140 years, Presbyterians have promoted education and leadership development through the establishment and support of Presbyterian-related schools and colleges, equipping communities of color. Your gifts to the Christmas Joy offering allow these ministries continue, and they include $1.1 million of gifts just in 2022 alone, being used to provide education and leadership development at these Presbyterian-related schools and colleges. They include the Manal School in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the Presbyterian Pan-American School in Kingsville, Texas, and Stillman College in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And then the other half of the Christmas Joy offering goes to support our past and present church leaders. At the same time, the Joy offering honors the faithfulness of current and retired church workers and their families in need. These generous actions, hold on to that. Let me tell you about a little bit of the support. Housing supplements from the Board of Pensions helped more than 223 individual recipients remain in their homes and affords assisted living or long-term care. Emergency assistance grants from the Board of Pensions helped more than 621 individual recipients facing times of great financial need or uncertainty due to unforeseen circumstances. And this accounted for $1.1 million of gifts from the 2022 offering being used to provide the critical financial support and grants for current and retired Presbyterian church workers in their times of need. One of them is the Reverend Peggy Krong, and her story is part of the bulletin insert you have this week. She says, "Thanks to the Board of Pensions and the Christmas Joy offering, I can now be of more service to the church than I would otherwise have been without this assistance. I just can't express how grateful I am." So these generous actions bear witness to our faithful response to God's charge to love one another as Christ commanded. Please consider prayerfully and give generously this year to the Christmas Joy offering. Then another local element is the Gresham Community Choir will be having their Christmas concert this afternoon at 3:00, featuring our own Darlene Brown, and that's at Reynolds High School. And if you see any of the walls between here and Fellowship Hall, you'll probably see a flyer for the Gresham Community Choir concert. And then also next Sunday will be our Christmas Alternative Market. There's a note in your bulletin about this market, but I want to let you know that the scouts from Troop 108, our scout troop that meets here at the church, will be selling wreaths and swags for $25, and I guess there's a few more ornate possibilities being here. So if you can wait until next Sunday to get your Christmas wreath, the scouts always appreciate our support. Now take a minute, fill out the fellowship pads you'll find at your pew, write your own name down, and then as you pass the pad back to the center aisle, note the names around you and greet each other by name this morning. Good morning, Rusty. I'm told that next Sunday will also be a gift card order Sunday. So if you have those people or those stockings that need to be stuffed, you can order and receive on the 17th the script order for Christmas celebrations. Are there folks you'd like to introduce this morning? As we come to our time of prayer, there are folks we want to keep in our prayers, along with those who are experiencing either travel woes or some budgetary woes this time of the year, all kinds of things that happen during the holidays. We do want to keep Dawn Nienest and her family in our prayers. Her father, Larry, died this week, so we want to keep them in our prayers. And Pat Weaver would like to talk to me, and I would like prayers for our mutual friends, John and Gail Lewis. They are changing their living situation, and John's been a great part of the Scottish Highland Games celebrations over the years. So if you would keep John and Gail in your prayers. Gail, too. They're both former chieftains of the day. Let's continue now our service of worship. I'm transitioning here. Christians around the world, oops, too much. Now, Christians around the world begin this day to await the advent of Christ. We join with a joyous and hopeful throng in lighting the Advent candles, symbols of our faith and signs of God's love. As we light the first Advent candle, the candle of hope, let it stand for hope not based on wishful thinking, but on deep conviction. We believe, we have seen, we have received the promise and the great gift, and therefore in the midst of darkness and imperfection, we hope. From the book of Hebrews, we hear these words: we have this hope, a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner shrine behind the curtain where Jesus, a forerunner on our behalf, has entered. We gather expectantly, hopefully, and with deep commitment, for we have heard that a special child is to come, that God is to be among us, and that soon we will see a new creation on earth. We are a people of hope.
Today's reading is from the book of Mark. But in those days, after the suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give light, and the stars will be falling from the heavens, and the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out his angels and gather the elect from the four winds for the end of the earth to the end of the heaven. From the fig tree learns its lesson: as soon as the branches become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all of these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the words will not pass away. But about that day and the hours no one knows, neither the angels in the heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. He leaves his home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work to watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the home will come: in the evening, in the midnight, or as the cock crows for dawn. Or else he may be find you asleep and come suddenly. And what I am saying is to keep awake.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Listen as together we hear the word of God. Paul writes, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Would you pray with me? God, on this morning that you have given us, grant us a word for our hearts and hearts for your word. Amen. A little girl was quizzing her mother after church one Sunday morning, where she had been taught about the second coming of Jesus. The little girl asked, "Mommy, do you believe Jesus will come back?" Mommy replied, "Yes, dearest." The little girl asked, "Could it be today?" Again, "Yes," was Mommy's reply. "Could it be in a few minutes?" "Well, yes," said Mommy. After a pause, "Mommy, would you comb my hair?" Mark 13 says that about that day or hour, none of us knows, not even Mommy. But as Christians, we do believe that Jesus, that this new age is coming. Reminders of Christ's coming engage us with expectancy and in relationships with God and with other people. We live in that in-between time, that time after Jesus' birth among us, celebrated in Advent and Christmas, and before that consummation, that second coming to establish the reign of Christ in heaven and on earth. Let's consider that this morning as we hope the Lord will not find us asleep or with our hair a total mess. Now, I don't know that Presbyterians spend a whole lot of time dwelling on the second coming. Perhaps some of us have read the contemporary rapture literature or the Left Behind series, but I'm guessing that it does not take up a whole lot of our faith musings in our prayers and our lives. Jesus and his disciples were apparently of a mind that the second coming of Christ was imminent, coming right away. So get your hair combed, it's coming. But that did not happen in the disciples' lifetimes. And it did not take into account the geological, astronomical chronology of God. If geologists are right, and the Earth is about 4.5 billion years old, and if that time was set to a set of encyclopedias, the time since Jesus' birth would be on the last page of the Z volume. So soon, the time to keep awake in God's time could still be a moment gone over the last 2,000 years. We know that our time, our life expectancy of 7 or 8 decades or so, is brief and oh so precious. Our lives will end, and in the scripture from Mark, we are reminded that this age will eventually end. And it will be when things seem at their worst, when they seem disastrous around us. It will feel like the cosmos are coming apart. But that is just when God will intervene and will put things right. What appears to be disaster is actually preparing the way for the Son of Man's return and the gathering up of the elect. The natural question then is, when? Obviously, apparently, the disciples asked the question, and the answer was, and is, no one knows. But then the larger answer was, so, therefore, keep awake. As we enter the busyness of this Christmas season, we may not need that injunction to keep awake with all the activities and chores and cleaning and corresponding that needs to be done. But Jesus means more than that. By keeping awake and alert, we live our lives according to the one who has already come and died and been raised. So we are not only prepared to live in the promised realm of God to come when it comes, but we may experience even now some of what life in that realm will be like if we are awake, eyes open, aware of what's going on. Keep awake, keep your eyes open, and like the fig tree, there are signs all around us of God's continuing presence and love. We are awake to the presence and the possibilities around us right now. The story was told of a woman driver whose car stalled in traffic, and she could not get the car restarted. The fellow who was behind her, and thus unable to move forward, thought it necessary to show his constantly impatient nature by doing what? Of course, by honking his horn every few seconds. Finally, the woman walked back to his car and said, "If you want to go try and start my car, I'd be glad to stay here and honk your horn for you." Jesus' second coming may well be a restart of the world, and for now, we can decide whether we are honkers or helpers. 1 Corinthians describes those folks as waiting for the revealing of Jesus Christ. We expect Christ will come again, but that waiting is not simply coasting or pausing or honking. Paul starts out 1 Corinthians with giving thanks, and that is a good posture for us in our time. The expectancy and the limited time we have adds to the motivation to keep awake and to make changes we want to the life that we have now. Paul talks about the grace we have been given in and through the life of Jesus Christ. We are in a better position post-Easter than the disciples were in. Grace is that dynamic power and energy that enables people to wait for the coming of the Lord. We do not have to be honking our horns when things seem to be in our way. Grace enables us to be strengthened for our work in the meantime. This time is not just a write-off, and our lives are not just a write-off. Grace allows us to stand blameless in the day of Christ's coming, a day of judgment, we are told, and there is that element of evaluation to the coming again of Jesus. Someone described the different kinds of waiting, and it is different from waiting for December 25th to come around. We know that day of celebration is coming, and we know when it's coming. We know the day is in red, encircled in our Advent calendars. We know that we're lighting the Advent candles, and when the last one is lit, the day will be here. Yet even in this, there are different kinds of waiting, qualities of waiting. Take the Christian example of fishing. We tend to think of waiting to be like waiting for the fishing season to start on the calendar. But waiting for the Lord is more like waiting on the riverbank or in waders, waiting for the fish to bite. There's an entirely different energy and awareness going on in the two kinds of waiting. Waiting can be like waiting at a stop for a bus or a MAX train. But waiting for the Lord is more like waiting for a parade. We hear it in the distance, and we can feel the drumbeat of the bands reverberating in our chest. We can claim the energy of expectant waiting. And actually, the imperfections and the sufferings of this world can jolt us awake in that. Last month, we had the 60th anniversary of President John Kennedy's assassination in Dallas. And the other man wounded in that motorcade that day had an awakening as the priorities of his and his wife's lives were changed. Former Texas Governor John Connally explained later in an interview, saying, "As far as Nellie and I are concerned, it inevitably brought into sharper focus what is really important in life. Now we try not to participate in things that are shallow or in the long run meaningless." In many instances, perception comes in the wake of disaster. Christians wear the cross, the instrument of Jesus' death, as a sign and reminder that death and suffering are not the end, that life continues. Communion commemorates Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, the body broken, the blood shed in crucifixion. Yet those things open our eyes to the reality, the grace that continues around us. That close, intimate meal was not the Last Supper of the disciples gathered together. We continue that gathering of the faithful today. The uniqueness of the Christian faith is our intimate relationship with God in Jesus Christ. None of the other great world religions has that personal, intimate relationship that we can claim with God in Jesus Christ. The power of Christmas is that Jesus was born. He shares that experience with each one of us. We can relate to the parables and the things Jesus was saying, and in Jesus, God can relate to the things in our lives. There was a meeting, a gathering of young people, and they were discussing the text where Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." One suggestion after another was made as to the meaning of this word salt in the verse. One said, "Salt imparts a desired flavor." Another pointed out that salt preserves food from decay. Then, after a time, a Chinese Christian girl spoke out of an experience which none of the others had. She declared, "Salt creates thirst." And there was a sudden hush that fell over the room. And one of the young people later said that everyone at that point was thinking, "Have I ever made anyone thirsty for Jesus Christ?" Waiting contains energy. Communion satisfies spiritual hunger. Witness induces thirst. Fellowship in the church has always been shaped by culture. Our congregation will be different from others, even from our own congregation 75 years ago. But we were called into this fellowship by God. Our personal relationship with Jesus in this community, enlivened by our way of worship together and by our mission work in the needs we meet and by the fellowship we share, like a seasonal buffet provided by our voyagers. Christian fellowships are always shaped by culture. But this community of faith will be sustained, will continue our life, only for one reason, and Paul says it in verse 9. The reason is God is faithful, and by him you were called into the fellowship of Jesus Christ our Lord. That faithfulness of God is what we depend on. Being awake to God in the world might actually then give us a sense of peace amid the busyness around us, even in this Christmas season, even as we wait for the season to come. Please join me in prayer. God, we thank you for your presence with us, your relationship to us, your call to us to be your disciples. Give us that imperative of expectant waiting as we answer the question to us. Amen. We are not passing around our communion or our offering plates right now, but I would invite you to take advantage of the plate on the communion table or at the back of the sanctuary as we present to Almighty God our tithes, our pledges, and our offerings.
Heavenly Father, as we accept these gifts as we accept these gifts as the Advent season begins leading to Christmas and the new year ends, closing finds a way for us to budget the upcoming year that we may continue to help others so that they will have an enjoyable Christmas and see a new year that is positive for them also. Amen.
And I will let you know that there will be gluten-free wafers at the back of the sanctuary, at the communion servers back there, if you desire. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. Men, women, and children will come from east and west, from north and south, and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites all those who trust in him to share in the feast which he has prepared. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and let the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for the life we know in Jesus Christ, your Son. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Leading his followers, he guides us. Dying on the cross, he rescues us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup
and proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes again in glory. Receive now our sacrifice of praise. Send to us your Holy Spirit, that this meal may be holy and that your people may become one. Unite us in faith. Inspire us to love. Encourage us with hope, that we may receive Christ as he comes to us in this holy banquet. We praise you, Almighty God, through Christ your Son, in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was with his disciples at table and on the night in which he was betrayed, having taken bread and blessed and broken it, gave it to his disciples, as I am ministering in his name, give this bread to you, saying, take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, our Lord also took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. All of you, drink of it. For every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection until he comes in glory. The gifts of God are for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. God of welcome and hospitality in fellowship today, God of hope and promise for the future, we thank you. We thank you for the grace shown in the people around us in the church and for the gifts shared here together. We thank you for the fellowship of Christian community. Hear our prayers as our ties of fellowship and awareness extend here and around the world on this first day of the season of Advent. We pray for a world that needs, that thirsts for significance and meaning found in Jesus Christ. We remember those in mortal danger today in Gaza and Palestine and Israel, those faithful folks in Ukraine who continue in a spirit of identity and independence, those in Sudan suffering civil war between military factions. We pray for members of our own armed forces and for their families in this holiday season when many are separated and serving far from home. We pray for leaders and for members of our Congress that respect and the greater good might sway every decision. The Savior of the world is here. O Lord, quickly come. We pray for folks we know who are suffering today in body or in spirit. We remember those who have been diagnosed and who now face treatment and recovery. We pray for those facing daily challenges of mental or physical health and ability. We pray for caregivers and those who are suffering in silence. We pray for the lonely and the grieving. We remember particularly today Larry's family and John and Gail and those we now name in our hearts. Be with them, O God Emmanuel, God among us. The Savior of the world is here, and in Jesus Christ knows each and all of our trials. O Lord, quickly come. We pray even for ourselves, dear Lord. In this season, grant us eyes to see and hearts to share the gifts of Christ. In our families, give us thankful times with and for them. In our church, help us to see the wideness of your love and the appreciation of so many and varied gifts. And in our individual lives, grant us that energy of expectancy. We expect the abundance of your grace. We expect that we will have important work to share and accomplish. We expect that as Mary accepted your will, we will see the fruits of faith in the days to come. We do not know how long this age will last, but we have faith. The Savior of the world is not yet, and yet is already here. In that light, let us live. We ask all these things in the light and life of Jesus Christ, whose name we claim, whose birth we await, whose work we share, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's sing together hymn number 8, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates.
Lift up your heads, ye mighty gates.
And now go out into the world. Expect that the gifts and the glory of God are going to be all around you this season. And it's just up to us to open our eyes and see. And now to the one who, by the power at work within each of us, is able to accomplish far more than all we could ask or even imagine. To God be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ our Lord. To this and all generations, now and forevermore. Amen.